This is the Good Neighbor Podcast, the place where local businesses and neighbors come together. Here's your host, Jeremy Wolf.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Good Neighbor Podcast. I'm your host, Jeremy Wolf. You know, I say this often. Sometimes the universe tries to tell you something, and I think our meeting today, or our guest today, can be serendipitous, if you will. We have Raul Tristini with Superior Fence and Rail, and he was on the calendar to come do the interview. And the other day, I got a letter from my association saying that I needed to replace some rotted pieces of my fence. And I said to myself, who do I know that does fencing? And here we go, sitting here with a fencing company. So Raul, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for the invitation, Jeremy.
Of course, of course. And thanks to our listeners for tuning in to learn more about our great community and the businesses that serve us. So let's get into this. Tell everyone a little bit about Superior Fence and Rail.
Well, Superior Fence and Rail, it's a franchise, the first successful fence franchise in the United States. Many tried before, many are trying now. But Superior Fence and Rail started franchising, well, actually started as a brand in 2000, I think, six or one. By entrepreneur lawyer that bought a fence company in Orlando. He started as a licensing agreement, expanding, and got eight or nine brands open in Florida. Then in 2016, he partnered up with one of these licensee holders, Zach Payton, which is currently a franchise president, because of the model he had, to turn into a franchise. That was back in 2016. They franchise it. It's been great. We were the fourth franchise to buy, the fourth territory they sold. Broward County. We cover all Broward County in 2018. And they have expanded since then. We have more than 100 physical locations right now. We cover everything from California, Seattle, to New York, Florida, Michigan, Utah. We have more than 300 territories. 100 physical locations, millions and millions of foot of fence installed every year.
So you guys, since 2016, Superior Fence and Rail has reached over 100 locations in that period.
Correct. Let me just put an important note there: 100 successful locations. Right, because that's a tricky point, right? When franchising in construction, there's a reason why fences has been there, you know, way before you and I were born, but nobody was able to successfully franchise it at that level. There's a lot of big companies for sure that cover extensive territory.
Why do you think that is? What is it specifically, or what is it unique about the fencing industry, fencing business that makes it difficult to scale up and franchise a business like that?
Because most of the fence companies are run by great fencers. Great fence installers, right? And they're great at what they do. They build fences beautiful, but they're capped at what they can do, sure. Right? What Superior Fence and Rail did is they put a business. This is a business. It's a corporation. It's a multi-million dollar business with a significant amount of employees, and it's run like that. So the process to run a fence business is like probably similar to many other industries, right? And then you have people in your team that are specialized in building the fence, that are trained and guided to be experts when it comes to building fence. But I think that's the difference, process to be followed. And every market is a little different, right? We'll get through that through your questions. But our market down here is a little different because of what you said in the introduction. Your HOA demands you to fix some things, even if you want it or not.
I love when the HOA, they send out a notice to fix something, and then you have questions about the notice and you can't reach them. They don't answer. It's like, what?
Correct. Well, we do all of that. And that's what would separate Superior, especially here in South Florida, to most of the fence contractors, is that we do that, right? We get a lot of calls, people like you, Jeremy, that are busy, got a letter, say, hey, figured it out. So we go there and we take off all the pressure. We like to tell our team to always refer to the process as headache free. We are a service business. All right. So when we talk about our business, it's not offensive. So when people ask me what I do, I don't say I install fences. That's not what I say, because that's not what I do. We are in the service industry. We service people that require home improvement in the industry of fencing, and we do that. But it's more the time. We probably take an average will be 60 days. Every account is open for about 60 days. On average, some are longer, some are shorter. And what we do is a service, then we go one day and install. So the installation is not the bulk of the process.
Are a lot of the jobs requiring permitting to do fencing replacements, or no, it's just
all of them?
Did you hear me okay? Our connection's all a little spotty. So like every job requires a permit, every fencing project?
All of them in South Florida, Broward and Miami. Okay. It's where we are. It's Broward. We have a lot of HOAs too, so they have their own rules, and then the city have their own rules, right? But here's that's the tricky thing with the cities, right? And the market, especially new homeowners, they haven't gone through the city process. They've never replaced a roof. They've never put in, you know, new windows or fencing. So they think it's easy. It's just a front. Just come replace it and be done in 3 days. Like, well, that's we cannot do it, unfortunately, you know. There's a process we gotta go. We have to have a license. We have to be insured. I would say most of the fence contractors should have a license. Most of them do. I do. We have to have a license. We have to be insured, because, to be honest, when we started 5 years ago, what we realized is that in the past, many, many years ago, the reason why there are few companies that has been over 40, 50 years is because a lot of the other ones were they weren't set up to honor their agreement they started. So they sold a lot of fences, but then they couldn't honor it. So that's why the city started like, okay, we need to have a license. We need to regulate this a little bit. So in the fencing industry, there's a lot of conversation around the United States. If there should be regulations for every state, most of the business owners do not want regulation, right? Sure. But in South Florida, we need a permit.
So what license is, are you talking about like a GC license, or is there a specific license under the GC umbrella for fencing or for that type of construction?
Right. It's not a GC. It's called certificate of competency. It's kind of a special trade license. Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense. Okay. So 2018, you got involved with this franchise. How did that happen? Tell us a little bit about your journey leading up to that, what you did before, and then how you transitioned and ultimately made the decision to kind of buy into this concept, this franchise with Superior Fence and Rail.
Well, my family, we were, at that point, we were living in Panama. And my parents were looking to invest and do something different. My dad has been all his life in construction. He used to do construction projects for private and public projects in South America. So when they decided to move to the U.S. and look for an investment opportunity, we were still looking at options. And somebody that we knew referred us to say, hey, there's this new business that they're starting to franchise a few months ago. It looks interesting. And when we met with that time, Chris Johnson and Zach Payton, which were the franchisors, my dad just said, this is the business we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. And at that time, there were obviously only Florida because the headquarters of the franchise are in Oviedo and Jacksonville. So we were only Florida. The options were a little small. And due to our Latin America background, my dad decided that South America will be easier due to a lot of Hispanic culture than here.
South Florida would be easier. Yeah.
Right.
So your whole family up until the point when you came over here with this business, were all living down in Panama, or were you already up here, or was all of you down there?
Well, I was actually personally, I was studying college in Spain at that time.
You said in
when
did
they
you say
came,
Spain?
It was a nice.
Did you say
yes,
in Spain
in
or in the state? Oh, nice.
Yes, Barcelona, Spain. It was great. A great time of my life. But when they opened up, when they decided to start this business, we saw it as a great opportunity. And I moved back here and I started running the business for them. It was great. It was a great experience. I've always had the mentorship from the franchisor, especially, and he walks us through the process, and we managed to sell over $1 million in the first 12 months. So it's been a long journey. We've probably at this point installing about 500 to 600 projects every year. And we're only doing residential. We were only doing residential up to last year. We're starting doing some commercial job to, but our focus is residential properties.
Right on. So always nice to get a look under the hood from local business owners. And when it's a family run business and you have the whole family putting their heart into it with a story like that, you really can't go wrong. So it's your father. I think you mentioned your brother, Thomas, yourself, anyone else Correct. In the family involved in the business?
Yes. My mom is also involved in the business, and my older brother, Alex, he runs our insulation department, and my parents function more in a CEO perspective. They also run, my mom runs the, the accounting part of the business. And my brother, Tom, is more involved in what the sales process would be. But it's as any other small business, it's all hands on deck, right? You got to be doing big as it's a small business at the end of the day.
Yeah. No, that's impressive. Anytime you have a family that's able to operate a business like that and not get down each other's throats all the time. I know if I took my family and tried to put a business together, I don't know if it would be very successful. So my hat's off to you guys for creating a successful business with your family. I mean, obviously it means a lot to you guys, and the passion shows in speaking with you. So Raul, what do you like to do for fun when you're not working, brother?
Well, when we're not working, I like to play soccer. Soccer is my hobby. Choosing, like going to the stadium, especially now, of course.
Inter Miami,
we don't win, but yes, into Miami.
So you must have been excited when Messi came over here. I was just talking to somebody the other day. I was at a poker game and soccer came up, and I talked about how the transition that's going to occur over the next 5 years, 10 years in this country, because Messi came here. I mean, in the past, soccer has always been kind of a second rate sport in the US, right? It's the most popular sport everywhere else. But now with Messi's presence here, the youth are just going to take it and run with it. And it's going to become such an unbelievable presence in the US.
It is great. I think there's with all the international tournaments coming, right? The World Cup is coming. The Copa America is coming. I think the U.S. will be one of the most important countries for soccer related in the next probably 10 years. You know, they'll get their spot. They want it and they'll get it.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. So, sitting here today, looking back through your journey, is there something that comes to mind, a life hardship, a challenge, something that you struggled with along the way? Maybe it's a defining moment, something that you drew a valuable life lesson from, something along those lines. What do you got?
As a challenge in this business, transparency. Transparency, it's something hard. Because and I understand when a lot of small business owners struggle because they want to do things the right way, and at the same time they want to earn the job, right? So it's been a challenge for us to train our people to always be honest and transparent, regardless of what's out there, right? To give you an example that we've come to. The situation, let's say Jeremy called the office and the guys go and then you say, well, but you know, you're the third company that comes and you're the only one that asked me for a permit, so I'm not going with you guys because you want to get me for my money. I'm like, so it's been a conversation with all our staff. It's a constant conversation and has been a human resource hardship to find people that understand and they want to do the right thing, because at the end it's like, you know, Mr. Wolf, unfortunately, those are the kind of regulations. We do require a permit. We have a license. We do everything for you, but you got to be willing to do the things the proper way. So I think that's a hardship. What we've challenged mostly is educating the market. letting them know that we're not saying that, that they're not people out there. They're great. There are good companies out there that do good fences. But you got to follow the process. You got to follow the rules. You know, we're here to help. We're here to do it for you. And in that note, human resources, it's the most valuable asset of our company, right? We've been very lucky and blessed to have great teammates, great people in the office, even the people that are not longer with us in the company. It has passed through the business in the last 5 years has been great. And I think that's the most important for any business, regardless of the size, right? Having good people in it.
Absolutely. So what for anybody out there, right? Well, like myself, that maybe they just received a letter from the association. Maybe they've been staring at their fence for the last 5-10 years and they've been thinking to themselves subconsciously, I need to change this thing. They just haven't done anything, but they are listening to this now and they want to go do something. How could they reach you guys? Let us know how we could find you and how we could learn more.
Sure. You can just give us a call, 954-280-0407, or look us up online. Website, I love our customers going through our website, superiorfenceandrail.com, because they'll be able to see everything that we offer. They're going to be able to see pictures. They're going to have information. There's a lot of education resources there to know about the fencing process, right? And they'll also look at our financing options, which sometimes a lot of people say like, oh, I can't do it right now because I got a budget for it, but I want to know a price. And that's great, right? That's smart. But at the same time, we are telling them, look, if what you want is just do it in small steps, we can offer you a 0%, even in this crazy market for 12 months. So it's the same as nice. Cash, you know? So, you're going to be paying what, $200 a month? Depending on the fence you got, right? 200, 300, 400, whatever it is. But look us up online. We do have some social media. We're improving our social media. And you can look us up in the Good Neighbor Podcast too, right?
Absolutely. And we will, of course, link in the description to all of your contact information to get the word out into the community, because I know there's quite a few people out there like me that are going to need to do these projects, and it's good to have a resource available. So, Raul, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Now it's our pleasure, and thanks to our listeners for tuning in, and we will catch you all next time. Everyone take care. Have a wonderful day. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Good Neighbor Podcast, Cooper City. To nominate your favorite local business to be featured on the show, go to GNPCooperCity.com. That's GNPCooperCity.com, or call 954-231-3170.